And you may have guessed by now, this morning we are in Hebrews chapter number 11. And this morning we are looking at the blood that saves. Hebrews chapter number 11. And let's read verses 27 and 28. By faith he, which is Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Let's pray. Father, your word is so rich in wonderful truths. Lord, we thank you that we have the living word of God within our very hands. And Father, your word is quick. It is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, we can only look to you by faith this morning. To you, Lord, to do your will and good pleasure in our lives and in our hearts as we come under the sound of your word. Father, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that the blessed Spirit of God would be our teacher, and that he would lead us into all truth this morning. And Father, we do pray that you would protect us from distractions round about us. Lord, we do know that there is an enemy, and he does not want us to have listening ears and seeing eyes this morning. Father, help us to keep our focus upon you. And as you speak to us through your holy divine word, may we be a people that are not only willing to hear, but willing to do that which is pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we continue our exciting journey through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we have been learning what it means to have faith that conquers our fears. We've been enjoying the life of Moses, and I trust you have been. And we've been looking at how Moses had to climb a mountain of fear in order to do what God wanted him to do. Remember the personal fears that he faced before leaving and packing his bags and heading back to Egypt. There were many personal fears that had to be overcome in order for him to go. And thank God he endured by faith. Then when he got to Egypt, he faced another mountain of potential fears. Fears of what could happen to him. The fear of the wrath of the king. And yet wonderfully in verse 27 we see he endured once again. And miraculously by faith, he did not fear the wrath of the king, for he endured. He was strong in that time. Why? Because he saw him who is invisible. And thank God, as we look this month at this theme of faith over fear, thank the Lord we can have faith in fearful circumstances. Now, as we saw the events of the past, we now move to verse 28 and we see this awful word, destroyed. Plague after plague, God was unleashing upon the nation of Egypt. Plague after plague, Pharaoh was being humbled and being brought down to the ground. It was a fearful time for all, no doubt. But the worst was yet to come. The Bible tells us that God would work a work of destruction in their midst. God told Moses that there would be one more plague upon the nation of Egypt. A plague so terrible, a plague so horrible, that in Exodus chapter 11 we read that there would be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, as there has never been or ever will be. This morning the title of the message is this: Faith in a Time of Judgment. Faith in a Time of Judgment. And as we look into the Word of God this morning, God wants to help us to have faith in our day. Would you agree that we are living in a day of judgment? Friends, judgment is coming. We are living in the very last days. And now is not the time for the Christian to hide out of fear of the wrath of the day to come. Now is the time for the Christian to exhort one another and to stand strong together in God's local church as we see the day approaching.
Amen.
To serve the Lord. Judgment is coming. And our first point this morning is this. In these words of God, in verse 28, we see the judgment of God. The judgment of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, first of all, tells us that Moses, through faith, kept the Passover. He kept the Passover. By faith, Moses prepared, would you agree, for the judgment to come. Now, how did he do that? He did that by obeying the Word of God. He believed what God had told him, and he did not delay with haste, with urgency. He heard the Word of God, he believed it, and he took action. Now let's catch up with Moses in Exodus chapter number 11, please. The book of Exodus chapter number 11. And let's see what the Lord warned Moses of in verses 1 to 3. Thank you for turning with me there. Exodus chapter number 11, the second book in your Bibles. Exodus chapter number 11. We see that Moses believed God's warning. Verse 1 says, Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Notice verse number 6. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. What was this judgment that God would bring? What was this last judgment that not only would cause Pharaoh to be brought to his knees, but not only would he let God's people leave, but he would command them to leave. He would thrust them out. What was this one last final judgment? Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 5, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. God proclaimed a judgment that was shortly to come. It was a judgment upon the nation of Egypt, and God said that he would judge the Egyptians. How? Every firstborn in the land shall die. Every firstborn shall die. That was the last judgment of God. In fact, the Bible tells us that there would be such a cry in the land as was never heard. Why? Because there would be no household in Egypt that did not experience a death in their home. What a horrible plague. What a horrible judgment. And this was the warning that God gave Moses. Now, why did God choose this as a judgment upon the nation of Egypt? Why the firstborn? Why did they need to die? Well, how many of you remember when the Hebrew people multiplied and a Pharaoh arose that did not know the man of Joseph, and he did not know the people of God, and began to fear and despise the people of God? Do you remember what Pharaoh's judgment was upon the Hebrews? The judgment was that every male child born was to die. They were to be thrown into the river. They were to be drowned in the river Nile. Why is it that God chose as this last judgment to destroy the firstborn of Egypt? Well, friends, God was simply paying Pharaoh back with his own currency. The Bible tells us this morning that God is a God of justice. He is a holy God. God is not mocked, the Bible says. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you see, Pharaoh had been sowing seeds of sin and rebellion and rejection of God all his life. Pharaoh had oppressed and afflicted and murdered the people of God. And the Bible tells us that Pharaoh was about to reap the seeds of sin that he had sown. He was about to reap the judgment that was due for his rebellion and for the sin of the nation of Egypt. You see, judgment was coming. And Moses heard the message of judgment and he responded. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says he kept the Passover. He did what God said to do. He followed the instructions of God. And he made preparations without delay. But before we go on, we need to remember that just as there was a final judgment upon the nation of Egypt, the Bible declares to us this morning, friends, that there is a final judgment coming. Friends, judgment is coming. The Bible says, look with me in Hebrews chapter number 9. The Bible warns us in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 of the coming judgment. And God warns us this morning so we might be like Moses of old and might hear and believe and respond to the word of God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Thank you for turning there. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the," say it, "judgment." Friends, God warns us, like Moses of old, that there is a judgment coming. You see, the Bible tells us that God is a holy God. That means He is without sin. He is morally pure. In Him is no darkness at all. God is holy. And as a holy God, He is a God of justice, and therefore He must punish sin. Now that means you and I have a big problem. Why? Because Romans chapter 3 verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all sinned against God. We have broken His laws. We have rebelled against Him. God has given us His Word, and as the more we read of the Word of God, the more we realize how great a sinner we are. Do you realize that God sees even our good works, our righteousnesses, as filthy rags? If we think we can lift up our good works to God, God lifts them up and He says, "No, take a look at them through my eyes. They are filthy." Amen. Why? Because our whole entire being is consumed with sin. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, God is a God of justice. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." There is a punishment, my friends. There is a penalty. And the Bible tells us it is death. And in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20 and 21, we read of the final judgment. If we die in our sins, if we stand before a holy God, there is no way that we can be declared innocent because of our personal sins against God. When God opens up the books and He sees the sins of our lives and we stand before Him, friends, there is no excuse. We cannot stand before the judge of the world and say, "But I did some good things." Imagine if you tried to do that in a court of law today. Imagine if you broke the law and you stood before the judge and the judge put down his gavel and he declared guilty. And then you put up your hand and said, "Yes, but I won't do it again." Do you think the judge would let you go? Do you think if you said to the judge, "Yes, I know I'm guilty, but I've done some good things," would the judge let you go? Now, if he did, he would be an unjust judge. Would you agree? But friends, God is a holy judge. He had to judge the nation of Egypt. And He also must judge every sinner, for He is holy. You see, there is a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming, my friends. And at this stage of the message, let me challenge you. Are you listening to the Word of God? Do you believe in the warning that God gives us? "As it is appointed unto men, once to die, after this the judgment." Have you responded to the Word of God? Have you believed the Word of God? Have you chosen to turn to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin? You see, by faith, Moses kept the Passover. He believed God. He was listening. Friend, are you listening this morning? If you died today, would you stand before God in judgment for your sin? You see, there is a last judgment coming. But there is also a catastrophic judgment coming upon this world. Friends, the Bible tells us that there would be such a great cry in Egypt as there never was, nor never will be again, but that was for Egypt. Friends, there is a greater cry coming that will come from the entire world in the last days. The Bible tells us when Jesus Christ comes to snatch His church, His bride away, we will be caught up in the air. Those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, why will He catch us away? Because a 7-year period of catastrophic judgment will descend upon this world. God will judge the world of sinners. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 6, verses 16 to 17. Why don't we turn there together? Revelation, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 6. What will this judgment in the last day be like when God sends plague after plague upon the world? Friends, judgment is coming. Notice with me verse number 16. Those upon the earth who have not accepted Christ as Savior, that's why they still remain upon the earth. The Bible says, "And these said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Friends, the judgment of God will be so horrific. People will be crying out and wishing that they would die, that the rocks and the mountains will fall upon them and would hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, God is a holy God, and He has been long-suffering. But there comes a point where God is no longer mocked, that His long-suffering ceases, and judgment must be delivered. You see, for the nation of Egypt, the time was up. And friend, one day for you and I, the time will be up. It may be when we breathe our last breath, or if we are alive and we still remain on this earth because we do not have Christ as our Savior, we will have to face the last judgments upon the world. Friend, the world of sinners is rejecting Jesus Christ today. They don't want a Savior. And the world of sinners is sowing seeds of sin and throwing caution to the wind. But one day God says they will reap the whirlwind. Judgment is coming. You see, it's a serious message. Friends, this is a serious book. Judgment is coming. And Moses believed the Word of God. Friend, do you believe what God has warned us of this morning? That's the first step. By faith, believing what God has said. Friends, you can't come to God for salvation and forgiveness and avoid the judgment of God unless you believe His warning. Now, Pharaoh tragically did not believe. Turn with me back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 11. Thank you for turning there with me. Friend, what took place in the heart of Pharaoh was a tragedy. Tragedy of the greatest proportion. Exodus chapter 11, verse number 10. Exodus chapter 11 and verse number 10. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Yes, it does. Friends, this was the last plague. This was the 10th plague. This was the last judgment. Excuse me. Pharaoh, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Lord hardened his heart. What does that mean? Well, you see, in the previous judgments, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He would not let the Israelites go, would you agree? He would not repent towards God for his sins. He would not turn to the living God. He hardened his heart. And what does the Bible say? God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, there came a time in Pharaoh's life where he had said no to the Lord for so long. God said, that's it. I will not be mocked. And God said, now I will take over. And the opportunity for Pharaoh's salvation was over. He hardened his heart for so long and said no to the Lord for salvation that there was no longer an opportunity for him to be saved. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, the Bible says. What does that mean? One day he may not be found of us because our hearts have grown so hard. We've said no to the Lord's gift of salvation for so long. We are blinded by our own sin. Our hearts are too hardened. Friend, I hope that's not you this morning. I hope that when you heard the gospel, you believed. If you're here this morning and you've heard the message of salvation over and over again and you have not accepted Christ, let me encourage you this morning to turn to Him as Savior before it's too late. If you have a doubt, if you're not sure, friend, judgment is coming. That is a promise of God. Judgment is coming. Hebrews chapter 3 tells us, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, friends, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Do you believe that judgment is coming? If you do, we're going to look at some good news in a moment. But friends, we live in a day of judgment. The judgment of God is around the corner. Are you prepared? Is your soul ready to face the Lord? Well, Moses believed God. Now, if you're here this morning and you know that you are safe in the arms of Jesus, you know that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we have a very special lesson to learn from Moses back in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Notice verse number 28. Something very interesting the Lord tells us here. Not only did Moses keep the Passover, he believed God, but notice what verse 28 tells us, that it is He, Hebrews 11 verse 28, through faith, what's the next word? He kept the Passover. Now, was Moses the only one who obeyed God, believed His word, believed the word of God, and followed God's instruction? Was Moses the only one? Yes or no? No, it wasn't. The whole nation of Israel was delivered from the judgment of God. Why? Because all of them obeyed the word of God. Now, why does the Bible say, through faith, he, Moses? That's an interesting statement. Would you agree? By faith, Moses. He kept the Passover. Why does it not say Israel kept the Passover? Lord, Christians, for those of you who are children of God, God has a very important lesson for us this morning. You see, the faith of one makes a difference. The faith of one makes a difference. God is saying here this morning that it was because of the faith of Moses. Moses who believed in God. Moses who believed in the word of God. Moses who believed in the judgment of God. It was because of Moses' faith that the judgment did not fall upon the nation of Israel, because he declared to them the judgment to come, and they believed. You see, the faith of one makes a difference in a time of judgment. And friends, we live in a time of judgment, and now is not the time for the Christian who knows the word of God to hide in a corner and watch this world go to hell in a handbasket. No, my friends, now is the time to go into the highways and byways and bid them to come to Jesus Christ. Friends, judgment is coming. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm just one person. Well, that's why God said He kept the Passover. Can you see with me this morning that one person makes a difference? Just one. Christian, just one person in the workplace makes a difference for God. Just one Christian who's willing to warn and witness in the love of Jesus Christ in their family makes a difference for God. Just one Christian in their neighborhood, in their community, that is bold enough by faith to witness for God makes a difference. By faith, he kept the Passover. Christian Moses believed God, but he warned Pharaoh. And he did not fear the wrath of the king. Pharaoh said, "Moses, you come back, I will kill you." And Moses said to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, God is going to judge you. God is going to send one more plague. That not only will you let the people of God go, but you will command us to go." What a bold faith that Moses had. Friends, we need the same boldness today. We need to have courage in God. We need to see Him who is invisible, Jesus Christ, and we need to be witnesses for God. Let me ask you, Christian, when was the last time you warned someone that judgment is coming? When was the last time? Yesterday we had the privilege of going out door knocking. Brother Andy and I met two men at the door. And as we witnessed to them, the Lord just urged me to tell them, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. There is no time to delay. For those who need Christ, would you agree? There is no time to delay. Today could be their last day, but what about for you and I? Why are we delaying in telling them? Some of you have put other priorities in life above witnessing for God. And when we come to the Word of God, God opens up our eyes and we realize that which is truly important. Friends, we are here to be His witnesses. We are, like Moses of old, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And the only way you and I can do that is to endure this fearful day by faith, by living by faith, by believing that God can use us and one person makes a difference. Amen? Amen. And that's you. And that's me. By faith, he kept the Passover. Friends, we are called to be the Lord's ambassadors. We stand in Christ's stead, in his place, the Bible says. We stand representing him. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He leaves us here to be his witnesses. And we are to warn those to flee from the wrath to come. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Let us be fearful, fearless witnesses, not fearful of man, but fearless by faith in the Lord, the judgment of God. Notice secondly in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter number 11. We've seen the judgment of God approaching. Notice the Lamb of God. And friends, here is the wonderful message of deliverance that God has provided for all. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood." The sprinkling of blood. Now, what was the Passover all about? We understand why God's judgment was coming. Do you agree? We understand. Judgment is coming. But what is this Passover all about? That the Passover was a ceremonial feast that God instructed his people to observe. The Passover was something that God expected his people to follow. The Passover was a new beginning for the Jews. It marked a new life for the nation of Israel. It marked a new deliverance for the nation of Israel. God would judge Egypt. But as the nation of Israel believed the word of God and followed God's instructions, the Bible tells us that the judgment of God came and would literally pass over those who believed God. The judgment came, but the judgment was not delivered to all. In the nation of Egypt, the firstborn of every household died. But in the nation of Egypt, Israel, no man died, but a lamb died. Not a man, but a lamb. Not a person, but an innocent lamb. What is the meaning of this Passover ceremonial feast? The Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Well, here within the Passover ceremony, we see a wonderful message of God's plan of redemption. Friends, God has warned us that judgment is coming. But thank God, there is a way that we can escape the judgment of God. There is a way that God's judgment will pass over us. And how can we experience that redemption and that salvation? Well, I trust you're listening this morning. Let's look at the Lamb of God this morning so that we can understand the Word of God. Exodus chapter number 12. God gave some specific instructions for the Israelites to follow. In this Passover meal, there's one particular focus. The focus is on the Lamb. Notice verse number 5 of Exodus chapter number 12. Are you still with me this morning? Amen. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 12. Notice the Bible says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Notice they were to have prepared a lamb. A lamb was chosen, and not any kind of lamb, not any kind of sacrifice, but a lamb without blemish. What does that mean? That means that this little lamb that was chosen for the Passover feast had to be without disease, without spot, without deformity or imperfection. It would need to be a lamb that was pure and spotless without fault. That was God's divine requirement for the Passover lamb, would you agree? It also had to be a male, not a female. God was very specific. It had to be a male. The Bible says that provision was made for all, because in fact God said you can take it out from the sheep or a kid from the goats. God said if you can't find a lamb, you can take a sacrifice from the goats. Why? Because God wanted everyone, and the urgency was so great because of the judgment to come. God said provision is made for all. Everyone must listen to these instructions because judgment is coming. So the lamb was chosen. The lamb was chosen, without blemish, a male lamb, for all. What is the meaning in all this? What is the meaning in this Passover lamb? Well, John the Baptist wonderfully answered the question, what is the meaning in all this, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ approaching, and what did he declare with a rejoicing voice? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world." My friends, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who came to sacrifice Himself for us. He is the chosen Lamb of God. And that's what the Passover lamb pictured. The lamb in the Passover was a symbol or a picture of the Lamb of God to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one that was chosen from the foundation of the world, the chosen Lamb. He's the perfect Lamb. See, the Bible tells us, my friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was not born from the sinful line of Adam. He did not come from the sinful line of mankind. No, He was born of God. And with His holy, sinless blood, He paid for your sins and mine. You see, He is the chosen Lamb. He is the only Lamb. You see, God had some divine requirements for this Lamb of the Passover. Why? Because, you see, the one which is to come, who has come, Jesus Christ, had to be pure, sinless. Friends, only God is sinless. If I wanted to pay for your sins, I couldn't. Why? Because I'm a sinner. You can't pay for my sins because you're a sinner. We cancel each other out. Who is the only one that can pay for our sins? One who is sinless. One who is pure. One who is holy. And that is God alone. And God came down to this wicked world to be born upon this world in a human body so that He, the chosen one, may pay for our sins. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. You see, friends, He is the one who died for all. And there is no other way of salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 tells us, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Friends, he is the only one. Why? Because he is the chosen Lamb of God. Let me ask you this morning, have you believed in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the only way of salvation? Well, he is. A lamb was chosen. Notice secondly, a lamb was slain. Exodus chapter number 12 and verse 6. The household of Israel, in every household, were to choose a lamb without blemish, the chosen lamb, describing Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 6. The Bible says, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Notice, it wasn't the life of the lamb that was important, but in fact it was the death of the lamb that was important. Would you agree? The Lord told them not to keep the lamb alive in the home as a little pet. No, the lamb was to be a sacrifice. It was part of the Passover. God would pass over them if they listened to his warning and instructions. And that lamb had to die. In order for God's judgment to pass over the household of Egypt, the death of the lamb was slain. And let me say this. Many people like to talk about the teachings of Jesus today. Many people like to talk about how the Lord said, love your neighbor, and they like that. They like to talk about how the Lord said, love your enemies. They like to talk about how the Lord said, do good to those who despise you. But what they don't like to talk about is the cross of Jesus Christ, the death of the Lamb. You see, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was the only way your sins and mine could be paid for. Why? Because the wages of our sin is death. And by dying on the cross, the Lord could in fact do the impossible, which we could never do. He could pay for your sins and mine once and for all by his payment on the cross. You see, the spotless lamb had to die. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, Christ died for us. He paid for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. The death of the Lamb. That's how salvation was accomplished, my friend. That's why God passed over every household that listened to the instructions of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us of Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. Christ is the chosen sacrifice. And he suffered for your sins and mine. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if we had time to look there, we would read that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You see, Christ is our Passover lamb. He is the spotless chosen lamb. He is the lamb that has already been slain, killed on the cross, gave his life for us, so that we may escape the judgment of God. Are you listening this morning? Friends, judgment is coming. But deliverance, redemption, forgiveness, complete Passover of God's judgment is available through the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb was chosen. The Lamb was slain, but most importantly, the Lamb's blood was shed. The Lamb's blood was shed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28 tells us, through faith Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Friends, the blood was the most important part of the Passover. Look with me in Exodus chapter number 12 and verse 7. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door of the posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Notice the Bible says that when the lamb was slain, the Israelites were to take one more step. And this was the most important step. They were to take the blood of the lamb and they were to spread it on the side posts of their doorway. They were to spread it on the upper post of their doorway. And the Bible tells us, notice in verse number 13, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, what did God say? I will pass over you. Amen. Friends, the blood was the most important part of the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Why was it so important? Because it was a picture. It was a prophecy. It was a message of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ to come. You see, the only way, friend, that you and I can escape judgment, then you and I can escape the wrath of God, is to be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that we can escape the wrath of the Lamb is to receive the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ as Savior. Friend, the blood had to be shed. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Christ suffered and died on the cross, but more importantly, He shed His holy, sinless blood to atone, to pay for your sins and mine. That is the only way that we could be saved. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, in a very fearful day of judgment, my friend, we have a wonderful hope. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the promises of God. And the Passover is very important because it pictures the salvation that is available for all. When God's judgment came upon the nation of Egypt, it did not come upon those who had trusted in the blood of the Lamb. The blood was shed. But the question is, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You see, it wasn't enough for the blood to be shed from that little lamb during the Passover. It had to be applied. You see, the blood had to be applied, would you agree? It wasn't enough just to know about it. It wasn't enough just to believe about it. No, they had to apply the blood to their very household. And that's the same with the Word of God and the promise of God's salvation today through Jesus Christ. The question is not, do you believe in Jesus? The question is, has the blood been applied to your soul? Many people believe in Jesus today, my friends, but not everyone talking about heaven is going there. Why? Because they've never received Him as their Savior. They've never repented of their sins and realized that, yes, they deserve a place in the lake of fire. That's why our sins are so bad, because we have sinned against the Holy God. But there is the Lamb of God who paid for us. And many have never cried out to Jesus Christ to save them once and for all. Many don't believe that judgment is coming. Many don't believe that Jesus said, meant what He meant, that He is the only way. You know, I still remember the 7th of May, 2005. I was in my old bedroom where I grew up in the house in Canberra where I lived with my family. And that night, my mum warned me that I needed to be saved. You see, one person makes a difference. Mums, one person makes a difference. Dad, one person makes a difference. And that night I realized that I had been pretending to be a Christian. I'd been praying every day to ask God to take me to heaven. But I'd never trusted once and for all in the blood of the Lamb. I never trusted in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins once and for all. And in my bedroom at midnight on the 7th of May 2005, the day before Mother's Day, that was the night the blood was applied to my soul. That was the night the blood of the Lamb cleansed me from my sins once and for all. That was the night I repented of my sins and I turned to Jesus Christ and I said, Lord, please forgive me. I believe that You died and that You rose again from the dead, and I believe You paid for my sins, and I am a sinner. I deserve Your judgment, but Lord, please save me today. And in that moment, I got the blood. I got the blood of Jesus Christ, and His blood washed my sins clean. And today I stand washed in the blood of the Lamb. What about you, my friend? Has there been a time in your life that the blood was applied to your soul? It's not enough to know about it, Friend, you could come here to this church for the rest of your life and drop into an eternal lake of fire if you never had the blood applied to your soul. Friend, when was the time? If you're not sure, I've got good news. The nation of Israel heard the warning. They believed it. And then they heard the instructions of God that a lamb must be slain and the blood must be applied. And what happened when God's fierce and wrathful judgment came down upon the land? God passed over them. Friend, you can have the blood applied to your soul this morning. You can turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you once and for all. Friends, if you'd like to know more, don't delay. Come and see me after the service. Talk to someone after the service and find out more how you can have the blood applied, but it must be applied. It must be personal. It must be received. Christ must be our Savior from sin. Friend, judgment is coming. But the blood of the Lamb has already been shed. And He has given us His promise to pass over those who trust in the blood. Lastly, we've seen the judgment of God. We've secondly seen the Lamb of God. Notice lastly the promise of God. And I'll end with this. The promise of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. Just a simple statement at the end of the verse. Through faith He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You see, God passed over those who trusted in the sprinkling of blood. Would you agree? It was the blood that protected God's people. It was the blood that protected them from judgment. And the good news is for you and I, who know Jesus Christ as Savior today, likewise, when God sees the blood, He will pass over you and I. That's the assurance of our salvation that we have. If we have received Jesus Christ as Savior, then we have God's promise that now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Friends, if you have been born again, if you've received Jesus Christ as Savior, His blood has atoned for your sins. God said it, and we believe it. Now hang on a second, how do you know if you're justified? How do you know if you're saved? Well, I prayed a prayer, yes, okay. You've received Jesus Christ as Savior, but even our memory can fade. We can even get old. I may not remember one day what my room looked like. I may not remember one day the words that I said. In fact, to the day I can't even remember what exactly I said to the Lord. Precisely. How do we know whether we're saved? Well, God gives us assurance. But what is our assurance based upon? Our assurance is based upon the promises of God. If we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we know we will be delivered from the judgment to come based upon the promises of God. Notice God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. Not when you see the blood. When God sees the blood, it's His promise that causes us to stand with full assurance of our faith. Does that make sense this morning? If we've had the blood applied, friends, then we cling on to the promise of God, and we know that on the judgment day, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is righteous. And when God says God looks at the books, He does not see the list of sins accounted for. He sees an empty page, my friend. Why? Because it's been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And God says, case dismissed. See, that's the promise of God. You and I can enjoy that promise today as Christians. That it's His promise that keeps us saved. We don't keep ourselves saved. We couldn't do anything to earn His gift of salvation. We can't do anything to lose it. He keeps us saved. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The word translated means to be carried over. We were once, look up here this morning, in the kingdom of darkness, and He has carried us over into the kingdom of His dear Son, washed, cleansed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And all God's people said, if we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, we know we are saved because He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you enjoying the promises of God's assurance today? I hope you are. Friends, we live in fearful times. We live in a day of judgment, and judgment is coming. How can you and I live without fear? Why? Because of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the Bible says that God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath of God's judgment is not appointed unto us. So then what are we afraid of? What's keeping us back from telling others? What is causing us to fear? The lost have something great to fear. Horrific. The cry that came out of Egypt that fateful night will be nothing. Nothing like the cry that will come up from this world. It will be nothing like the cry that will be heard at the great white judgment throne. Nothing. Judgment is coming. Is your soul prepared? If you have a doubt, don't leave here this morning without sharing that with someone. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. And you can acknowledge that you need to know more, or that you want to be saved, or you're not sure whether you've had the blood applied to your soul. You can just put your hand up. I won't embarrass you. I'd like to just see you after the service. But will you be honest with God this morning? Just like Moses of old, you can listen to God's word. And you can hear His instructions and say, yes, I need the blood applied. I need Jesus Christ today to save me once and for all. Is that you? And if Christian, you've already had the blood applied, then we need to go out and tell someone else this week. Amen? We need to warn those to flee from the wrath to come. Because Moses did that by faith and without fear. Judgment is coming. Are you prepared?